I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Beyond the Haunt with Evelyn Kennedy
and Jessica Powell.
And today we are talking about the ways that we store different emotional experiences in our body, different energetic experiences in our body, and how these sensations manifest and evolve over time.
Yes, we talked about this very briefly. As we talked about a couple topics we want to talk about in this episode. This is the one we decided to address, though, because I think it's very applicable to both mine and Evelyn's lives right now. And what we have...
Like, chronically.
Yeah.
like, right now or, like, every day forever?
Every day. I mean, for you, it's probably every day forever. Mine comes and goes, so...
Yeah.
And I do want to mention, too, I have friends within the medical field, and I know within Western medicine specifically, talking about the mind-body connection is, like, controversial, which I think is stupid.
Tell us what you really feel, Jess.
I think it's fucking dumb. And I remember seeing on some website, some like white man doctor who was like, I've discovered the mind-body connection. And I'm like, I don't know, man, why don't you talk to the Chinese and Hindus who have Ayurvedic and ancient Chinese medicine who have literally been tackling this for thousands of years.
Just anyway. Gotta brand it.
Oh my God.
The caucasity.
Lord have mercy. So I do just want to, I think it's important to mention that if you're looking for scientific proof of this in the Western world, you're going to get so much information. But I think it's important for us to just talk about like personal experiences, because I think so often within our Western world, which I think we've kind of talked about this a little bit, is that we are so anti doing anything if we don't know why, if there's not science behind it, if we don't know what we're going to expect from it, if we don't know exactly what we're going to experience, we're like, no, we're not going to do it. Whereas in Eastern cultures, like yoga philosophy, meditation philosophy, it is all 99% practice and 1% theory. And so I'm not one of those people who discredits personal experience because I think it's really important to share. I think there's a lot that we can learn from it. That said, it is personal experience. So what I might have experienced or Evelyn might have experienced or you might have experienced can be vastly different. But I am not one to, I don't discredit science, but I also don't discredit experience that hasn't been scientifically proven within the Western scope of the medical field, which is rooted in white supremacy as it is and patriarchy. So there's a caveat to start this.
Well, and if you are looking for more information on some of these practices that have really long-standing and important cultural roots, I encourage you to seek out information from within those cultures as well, because they're going to have a better like body of proof basically to work with, because it's been, you know, mind-body connection has been just better tackled than it has here.
Yeah. And there are some prominent figures within this society. Actually, I don't know where Bessel van der Kolk is from, but there are some thought leaders within the Western lens that have been tackling this. But if you do look up their information, there's going to be like Dr. John Sarno, I want to talk about a little bit. He was ridiculed by his peers when he determined and found that he was awesome. Oh God, what's the doctor? Orthopedic surgeon. He found that so many of his patients with spinal pain, it wasn't actually rooted in the physicality, but it was rooted in the shit that they were dealing with on an emotional level. And I think so much of what people kind of like see this lens through too, is that if it's coming from the emotional level, then that means we are personally at fault for our pain, which I think is not the direction that people actually think to look at that lens from, but more as in like our mental and emotional lives can impact how we feel physically, which also means to some extent, not every extent, we have the power to shift that story, which I think is really powerful. So Evelyn has dealt with this her whole life. I've dealt with it in my own way. And you know, with the last question that we had talking about how to distinguish what is your traumatic response versus your intuitive voice, this is kind of like a natural evolution of that, because I feel like so often the stuff that we do house within our bodies on an emotional and physical or emotional and mental level is some of the trauma that hasn't necessarily been released. And trauma of all sorts. It doesn't have to be like some raging, severe experience, but even like the slight things that we experience on a daily life.
Right. Like perpetuating just stories that you have about yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
Some of the more meaningful experiences that I've had around, I guess, really being able to see more clearly the reactions of my physical body to my emotional or my mental experience had to do when I was getting acupuncture. And it was so interesting, especially being someone who's really energy sensitive and being like on an acupuncture table and being able to like feel like the meridian flows change. And at one point I was, when I was dealing with my postpartum depression, I was so stagnant and stuck. And I just had this like pressure building inside me. It was manifesting in a lot of like anxiety, but it really looked a lot like rage. Like it was kind of how that was coming out. I had my acupuncturist poke a little tiny hole in the outside of my pinky, and he was like squeezing my finger and like bleeding it out. And as soon as he poked that spot on my finger, I like burst into tears. And I am like not someone who would like cry in front of people if I could help it.
She doesn't even like to cry in front of me, guys.
No, I'm like not a public crier unless it's got to be really serious. So it was, and it just was out of nowhere. There was no warning of like, oh, let me try to like stifle this. It was like a volcanic eruption of crying. And it literally felt like this insane burden had just left my body immediately. Like it was like the pressure valve was released. And so that was just one of the more impactful kind of moments that I had around that.
I think for me, the first time I really kind of came into this, and I mentioned Dr. John Sarno, and he actually came into my life when I moved back from India. But while I was in India, 3 months actually before I left, I got into a really bad head-on collision in downtown Seattle. And for anybody who's been in a car accident, you know that oftentimes the physical manifestations of that won't rear their head until quite a bit later. So, you know, accident be damned. Concussion be damned. I did actually leave once the concussion was over, but I still left to go to India. And about a year after the accident, I started having all of these physical pains. And I remember I was seeing my Ashtanga teacher in Goa for like the second time. So it was like the second year that I went and practiced with him. And like my hands were like starting, like my left hand, the fingers were starting to go numb every now and then. And I kept having this pain, like not at the base of my neck, but on like my left shoulder. And all of a sudden, and I've been a competitive athlete since I was 6 years old. Obviously the severity of my competition was not that great when I was six, but I've been an athlete. So I've been strong and I have always been able to do push-ups. And all of a sudden, I couldn't do chaturanga, which is basically like a yoga push-up. I couldn't. I went down onto my knees and I had to do it. And even that, I just felt like my left arm was dead. And I started to freak out because I've never had this before. And so I went to so many Western style doctors in India and they had me in traction devices and I was paying like $30 a taxi ride to go out to main towns. And they had me on muscle relaxers, which did nothing. Like all I did was felt high, was uncomfortable. Like I couldn't even hold my head up. And I went and got an MRI. Everybody will be horrified to know how much I paid for a full spinal MRI in India with cash, $100. And it was determined that I had a bulge and a bulging disc and a torn disc between my lower cervical spine. So like C5, C6, C6, C7. And so I was going through all the like the Western stuff. And I had met a woman on the train from Chennai to Goa who had just spent, and she was from she was British, and she spent a month at an Ayurvedic hospital doing a Panchakarma, which is like a really intense kind of a Ayurvedic detox. There's a special diet that you do. There's a bunch of these like herbal oil practices and therapies that are done. And I called her because I was so desperate. I was basically not able to hold my head up to even read a book. And I was like, what is that doctor's name and where is he located? And I called him and he's like, come. He's like, fly in, we'll pick you up and come and stay with us. And then when I got there, he took my pulse and said, I know exactly what we need to do. And kind of like in India, in Eastern cultures, they don't tell you what you're going to do. They just say they're going to do stuff. And then just, I just trusted them. This is like full trust in a system I'm not familiar with. And we went through the procedures. I was in the inpatient hospital for 3 full weeks as an actual patient. They let me stay for an extra week because after you go through all that, it's really intense to like go back and reintegrate into society and using your body normally. But I basically just did these three different therapies each week. And the second week I was there, Dr. Sabu came into my room and he's like, how are you feeling? And I'm like, I feel like I got fucking hit by a truck yesterday. And I felt so much rage and agitation and irritability. And like normally the nurses and I would like joke around as they were doing these things. And I was just fucking miserable physically and mentally and emotionally. And as I told him this, he's like, oh, good, good, good. Perfect. That's exactly what you're supposed to feel. And then he left the room and I was like, what the fuck? And then, and keep in mind, I wasn't able to use my left arm pretty much when I got to this guy. And then the third week, things kind of started to like lighten up a little bit. And by the fourth week, I was effervescent and I was able to do push-ups again. I was able to like use my arm, like it wasn't numb. I could hold my head up and like respond to comments on Instagram and edit pictures. And I have never had an issue since, except when I am undergoing some sort of very stressful life situation, my lower neck will absolutely hurt. And Evelyn can attest to this. I have to lay down because I can't hold my head up. But it's when I am experiencing something in my personal life that is just causing such like immense stress and anxiety. But since I've been back, that's maybe been like 4 or 5 times in the last 8 years. So for me, it's really hard to deny the fact that there is some connection there. Like that two, like that second week that I was there and everything was coming up to the surface as I'm like releasing rage and irritation and sadness and anxiety and all of this stuff while they're doing like wipe, like rubbing me down with oil and herbs. Like I wasn't medicated on any like muscle relaxers or painkillers. I was just like, shit, there's absolutely something to this. And it's, I don't think it's something that can be ignored and it needs to be a part of our full holistic look of our existence.
So do you have a sense of, like, I know for me, when I have something in my body flare up that's regular, it's almost always like related to one specific kind of thing. Do you have a sense of like what that particular pain or sensation is bringing up, like when you're having to work through that, like what it's about?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm working through so many things still to this day. I don't know if there's like a specific thing, but yours is rooted in something, yeah, like a reoccurring specific like emotional mental thing that,
yeah. Well, and so and what a lot of our listeners will probably also find, if you've been familiar with any of this kind of work at all, there's some aspects of the body where like you can, you know, it's like it's Googleable, it's like information that's out there, right? And a lot of it does stem from those Eastern practices of like, you know, oh, if your legs are being impacted, it is likely correlated with this. If your bowels are, you know, this way, it's like, so for me, my thing is my it's usually my back stuff. And I have two different kinds of back pain. And one of them is like my dad. And one of them is more like a mother wound, but not like from my mom necessarily, but like the more like being a mother, like the maternal pressures kind of thing, for being a parent myself. And I know that like there's a lot of philosophies around like, oh, this side of your body is like more masculine and this side is more feminine. And so there can be messaging there about, so like, you know, if you are someone who dates men, you might see like more of that like left side stuff. If you're in conflict, like with your boyfriend or whatever, then we also look at like other systems of measurement around the body, like chakra systems and like, oh, if you're having like heartburn all the time, like what's going on with your heart chakra, but then it's also correlated with throat and, you know, that kind of thing. So there's all of these different ways that these things overlap. I suggest like talking to your pain, I guess, like, yeah, and like asking your body, like, what is this? Especially if it's recurring, like if you are plagued by something chronically, ask your body what it is and see or feel what kind of answer you might get from that. And looking at like the origin point as well.
Yeah. I mean, surprising with how much I actually dive deeply into what different things mean. I haven't really pinpointed anything specific, but also I know that like when the pain, like my neck pain came back when I had moved back and I was feeling really unsettled. And I like what Evelyn is talking about too, Louise Hay, who, you know, lover or hater, she has a book called Heal Your Body, and she does like talk about some of this stuff and she's channeled some of it. And I read these things with like a grain of salt because, did I just say that right?
Take it with a grain of salt.
I take it with a grain of salt. Because what I have found is that other people's experiences and where they, like where stuff comes up can be different. So like, even when I learned to read, there were certain pictures that we were taught to use. And I found that like being too rigid in what, like, you know, we read roses, like what a stem meant.
Just for clarity, we're talking energy reading.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes. Energetic intuitive readings. I tend to not like really stick to like what other people say that stuff is rooted in.
I've been familiar with her work and with that book. And like, it is a great sort of like reference. But I do find that it's definitely not universal because some body pain does come from like an event. Like you had a car accident. Like that was the origin point of that. And then how you dealt with it after that was where it seems like there was more potential for, you know, like the emotional like stuff to like get involved there.
Yeah.
Versus like my back stuff on my left hand side. And I think I figured this out. When I was 16 years old, I woke up one day and I had only recently stopped doing ballet, but I woke up and I like couldn't walk, like full on could not walk, excruciating pain. And I yelled for my mom and she like took me and we got an x-ray and they were just like, this is just like a horrific back spasm. And like, it was like so tight that it was pulling my backbone, like my x-ray, my back looks all curved because it's so compressed from how tight this muscle was. And that became a like chronic injury that like it would flare up. What was going on around that time, which it took me years to make this correlation. What was going on at that time was that my dad and his wife at the time were about to have my little brother. And I come from a big family. And so I had always like wanted my mom to have another kid. And I had lots of siblings on my mom's side, but I was like my dad's only child. And I had just some really interesting stuff where I was like experiencing my dad having this baby as like as if I was a little kid, really, like a replacement anxiety. And it was just really bizarre because I was old enough to know, like, that's weird, right? Like, and I don't know that I should feel that way. Like, that's weird. But it was just like, that's what was coming up. And so that was like around that same time. And now every time that if I'm, whether it's that I'm worrying about my dad or, like just having something come up around that, like that's when that particular thing is most likely to kick up. So I know that like, ooh, if I'm like concerned about this in any way, like I can generally kind of expect that particular thing to become activated. And sometimes we have to think too that like, you know, when like in the last episode, we were talking about, you know, the messaging that you're getting and like, what do you listen to and what do you not listen to? And just knowing where everything comes from is so useful, and getting really curious with your body is so helpful. Because, and like we've talked about this before about like, you know, like if you're in a super toxic romantic relationship you start getting like yeast infections all the time, like your body literally is like, don't, like you're poisoning me, like stay away, like closed off, like this is not what we're doing. And so something like that is like, wow, what a useful piece of information that your body's trying to communicate with you.
And I'm sure one of the questions you guys might be wondering too or thinking is like, well, how do I know if it's like real pain or if it's something that's it's all real pain. Let me just clarify that. If it's something that is like located in the physicality or if it's something that is located, like it's being manifest by whatever's happening internally. Dr. John Sarno, who recently passed away the last couple of years, I believe, he wrote an amazing book called Healing Back Pain, The Mind-Body Connection. And as an orthopedic surgeon, he found that if everybody who had a hernia was in pain, that means technically everybody who has a hernia should be in pain. But some people live decades with a hernia and never even know that they have it because they don't feel anything about it. Also, there is, so like when somebody is like, oh, you've got a hernia, so this is why you feel this, like a broken bone, like that is absolutely an injury. Like you have fractured your bone, it is broken, there is going to be pain and it's going to be consistent and it's not going to change. What I have found when my pain is rooted in more of the emotional body manifesting itself in the physical body, it moves, it shifts
and flares.
It will flare up, it will go away, it will like an example we were talking about.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box, when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Toxic relationships. The relationship I was in before Evelyn was awful. And nearing the end of our relationship, when like I was finishing up my EMDR for the first or third, second time, I'm going in with my third time right now, my knee was in such agony that I could barely walk down a slight incline. And then all of a sudden that kind of went away. And then my low back started hurting a lot. So my knee was fine. I didn't do anything. I didn't go to PC. I didn't take any medicine. My knee was feeling fine all of a sudden after months of not being able to really walk very well. And now my back was in such excruciating pain that I could barely sit down for any sort of period of time. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I remember driving down to Portland to see my now ex for what I thought was going to be the last time. It was the first time I ended up breaking. No, that was like the last time. And the closer I got to Portland, the more my back started hurting, like so, like excruciating pain that felt like I had a knife going into my spine. And I got to her house. I was absolutely wretched, in pain, in agony. Things did not go well when I got there, and I left her. I won't go into all the details of how that transpired, but I ended up leaving her 10 minutes before I drove 5 hours from Seattle to Portland in awful traffic. I was like, fuck this. I left. I went to my mom's house. And as soon as I got back in my car after I ended things with her, my back pain was not fully gone, but it was 50% less bad. And I think that's a really powerful thing to look at. So if you start feeling these pains and like, you know, it's in your shoulder and then all of a sudden it's in your neck and then maybe now it's in your thoracic spine or maybe it's in your knee and then it goes to like up into your quad. Like if it's migrating pain, it might not necessarily be because of something physical. It could be something that you're feeling emotionally.
And it's just trying to get out. And like your body's just trying to get get through to you.
Yeah.
So it's like, what can I do to get your attention, basically?
Exactly. Well, in Dr. John Sarno, I looked up the name of what he always calls it because I always forget the name. He called it TMS, which is tension myostosis syndrome. And basically, it's that your physical body has determined and like labeled that a particular emotional thing is actually like life-threatening, and it creates a pain in your body basically as an indicator that it's something to look at. You can look it up online. There's a bunch of information about it. We won't go into like a full educational piece about this. And like part of that releasing too, there's another doctor, Dr. Peter Levine, who created, somatic experiencing. And what he saw when he was studying the way that animals process trauma is that like, you know, you're a kudu just minding your own business in the African bush, and all of a sudden you get chased by a jaguar, and you've got your three ways that you're gonna react. You're gonna fight, you're gonna flight, or you're gonna freeze, which is, you know, kind of twofold. One, you basically trick your predator into thinking you're dead. The other thing that happens when that happens, though, is your body actually starts to shut down a little bit. Just in case you do die, it will make it not as much of a painful experience. And then once the kudu does whatever it's supposed to do and the jaguar runs off, the kudu will get up and like violently shake itself out and then run off like nothing ever happened. So what happens in the animal kingdom is that they don't hold on to this trauma. Like, can you imagine being an animal that's prey and there's predators all around you? Like, you wouldn't be able to function in life. And the way that we function in this existence is that our systems are always activated in some way, shape, or form. And so things have become, like, we're almost like a perpetual prey to our society, but we...
Into our own brains.
Yeah, into our own brains, into whatever's happening, but we have never learned to actually process through that. And in fact, oftentimes we're taught to suppress it and to like just ignore that it's even there or just...
Minimize
it, when really what we need to be doing is like getting it out. And so somatic experiencing is a therapy modality where that is something that happens. And it's a really interesting process too, because while you're sitting there, it's almost like a meditation. Like, I've actually seen some real similarities with that in my Vipassana meditation, where I would feel these like really memorable like sensations in my body that were present when I was young. Like, in Vipassana, they don't talk about what the actual sensations are until you like do a 20 or 30 day meditation course. But like this real weird expansion in my body, and my SE therapist was like, well, this is actually an activated trauma state. And what we do is like, you go through it, you feel it, and then you like watch it go away and you basically release it. So it just needs to get out. And one thing, we were reading the book Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski, I think her name is. Mm-hmm. And one thing that she mentioned in that too is that there's also this trauma stored in the body when it comes to sexual experiences. And her suggestion was to like exercise and that gets it out. From my personal experience as an athlete for so long, if I was going to have exercise get out all of my trauma, I would be the most chilled out, peaceful human on this planet because of all the workouts that I've done. For me, that does not work. I don't think that is the thing for people that will actually get it out. I think it needs to come out some other way.
And I wonder too, if like, because of the mind-body connection, if there was like intention behind it, like if it was like intentionally being brought up as like, here's my trauma that I'm naming and feeling, and like basically combining SE with conscious exercise, I could see that being more productive than just like,
it's true,
than just like exercise because I'm exercising. And if you've been suppressing this whole time, and even if you're suppressing with exercise, which is it's a whole other, it's not just the moving the body, right? Like, yeah. Yes, the body moving is moving energy, but it's only moving energy that you're allowing it to access. So if you've got stuff that's all buried and like crumpled and tight, it's not necessarily moving through any of that. But if you put thought behind it, I bet it could be. It might just have to be an intentional practice.
Yeah, which I can actually see that. She didn't mention that in her book, but like, you were like, when I was doing that workout in my on my bike trainer in my apartment, like right around when COVID started, I was training for the Seattle to Portland bike ride. I wanted to do it in a day under 10 or 12 hours, and so I was training a lot. And right when COVID started, I was doing a workout. Evelyn was at my house, and I At this point now, my exercising, I can't use as a numbing agent. If I'm exercising and something needs to come out, it will come out. I crumpled over on my bike and started sobbing uncontrollably. I guess there is something to that. Yes, I think the intentionality definitely needs to be there.
Yeah. For me, I just always look at like whatever's going on with the body and like what's the associated story, like based on where it's at. So like, yeah. If your feet are always hurting, like what's going on with your stability, like your foundation? If your legs are always hurting, that's like momentum, like forward moving. Are you feeling stuck? Are you feeling restricted? My acupuncturist was telling me once too that like pain on the outside of the body has to do with like external pressures versus like internal, like organ stuff. More so has to do with internal pressures or even like in the inside of the legs, the inside of the limbs. So there's so many really interesting philosophies behind that. And the way that you can find the solution for that really has to do with exploring for yourself and like getting curious with yourself and your own body. And you can, I mean, obviously like working with energy healers, working with Eastern medicine doctors, or really good Western medicine doctors, if you found a good one.
One who's open to, and not all Western docs are like super, mm-hmm. I'm only doing what I was taught in school through this very patriarchal mm-hmm. white lens, and I'm going to ignore everything else. Nothing else matters. There are a lot of really great doctors out there that do look at the holistic aspects of this.
Yeah, I just think about like I'm someone who has like definitely like some chronic immune issues. I guess the other thing that I see all the time is like people who like run themselves into the ground, like they're like they just work really hot and they're like go go go, and then they are like surprised when their body just like levels them because they like you won't take a break. Like if yeah. you won't take a break and a break is required, your body will make you take a break, and it'll usually do it in a really mean way. Like that's how I ended up with having my appendix taken out, because I was like, I had a new baby and I was like doing all these projects. I was like building a salon.
Is that when you were like, she was taking, I didn't witness this, but I did see the logs that she had told me about. Like you were carrying like 50 pound logs.
That was after I had it done. I obviously didn't even listen to
So
I was like, I was doing that. I was just like, go, go, go. And my body was like, no, 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 you're going to lay down. And then, yeah, it was like, oh, now you need a surgery. Ha ha. Take time to recover. So yeah, it's like you have to listen to those cues and kind of know what's going on so that you can maybe be a little bit more in charge of how that looks. I would have much rather have just like taken a few days off than gotten smacked down.
Would you have though?
Well, I mean, obviously I wouldn't have made that choice because look where I am now. You know, like I don't have an appendix. Yeah. So, you know, I think in retrospect,
I mean, hindsight is so wonderful.
Isn't it?
We only had it not hind in just present sight. I know. Well, my mom is very like, well, and I'm very go. Well, I'm not as go, 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 go anymore as I used to be.
Side eye.
I know. You should have seen me like 10 years ago. Oh, God. I'm sure if you're experiencing chronic pain or any type of pain that might not necessarily be from like the body itself, but manifesting through like emotional pieces, like sit with yourself and notice what you're doing, you might feel that you're holding on really tight. Either like your breath is super shallow, or you might even be holding your breath, or you just feel this tightness in your legs, just like this holding on for dear life because you don't want to release because you're scared of what's going to happen when you do.
I was trying to think of other things that my body has like done that had that kind of obvious energetic correlation. And one of the ones that I was thinking about is, I noticed this when it was happening, and I was actually able to like shift my perspective enough that I addressed it. And so it stopped happening. But when my eyesight started to get worse, which of course at first I was like, oh, I'm getting older, whatever. But what I had going on at that time was literally like everything around me was so overstimulating. It was right around my divorce. And I realized later that like energetically what was going on was that my body was literally trying to soften the world around me by literally softening my vision. And it was like, I would notice it, especially like when I was driving, that my eyes would like, I'd feel them go soft. Like like literally like almost intentionally become unfocused. And I would have to like strain really hard or like really like try to see things clearly. And I knew that it was like partly because I was... It was like protecting me. It was like, it's too intense. Like everything needs to be soft around you. And
like the first season of Drag Race.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a soft buttery filter, like a glow, like Crisco right on the lens. And it was just so weird because I was pretty conscious of it. Like even when it was happening, like at first it was, I kind of brushed it off. And then the more it happened, I was like, I'm literally trying to not see what's around me. Like I'm trying to not see with clarity.
Yeah. Did you find that it like cleared up at some?
Yeah. Like
so as you were moving through stuff?
Yeah. So I definitely stopped having that like intense, like that softening feeling like I have to work really hard. And like I got glasses. I don't wear them. but even then, like it's so like I feel like when I look around, like I'm seeing clearly, my eyes quickly adjust to wherever I'm looking, where that just like wasn't happening in that time. Or it was like so slow. So yeah, there, I mean, boy, all of these things can look any kind of way in your body. Yeah. So I encourage you guys, if you have any questions, whether about this episode or about anything, anything that you want to hear me and Jess talk about, go ahead and shoot me an email at k.evelynkennedy@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, themirrorgrid.com, and send me a message through the contact forms there. But we definitely want to answer your guys' questions. Also, if you have a specific thing that you want us to check out around, you know, this body stuff, is it's so interesting. So
yeah,
feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to answer your questions on the show.
And I think the really important thing to take away from the body stuff is it is really your psyche kind of trying to tell you to address something that hasn't been addressed. I want to talk just a little bit about kind of what was happening with me recently. Is another way that this can all manifest too is like panic attacks are absolutely a way that I think it's, I liken it to like the body becoming a pressure cooker, and panic attacks are like a not so slow release, like on the Instant Pot when you do like the forced release versus like the slow, nice release. That's a panic attack. And I was having them recently, and it really became apparent that there was some really intense healing work that I had to continue to do from my past experiences with EMDR. And it was just a different phase of it. It was like a different target, I think is what we call it. And so since I have reinvigorated my EMDR therapy with my therapist, my panic attacks have gone away. And she even mentioned, and this is why I love my therapist, because she's aware of this stuff as well. She was like, I bet your EMDR between sessions isn't going to be nearly as bad right now, because what you have been experiencing is the bad shit. And it was all happening because your body and your soul were needing to do this right now. And the only way you were going to pay attention to it is if it kept doing this, because you can't ignore panic attacks. You can't. Like, you have to look deeper into it.
Right. That was your appendix.
That was my appendix. I've had so many appendixes. But yeah, I think I think that's the big piece that I want people to take away from this, is that your whatever's manifesting itself physically is an indicator that there's something else that probably needs to be looked at, which I think is another, in that way, I don't even think of it as a negative. It's like, oh shit, my body's telling me that I'm not focusing on something. So what is that?
Right. Well, and it's just, I just think it's really cool, and it leaves a lot of things open. Like when you look at like people who are energetically like curing disease, or that story of that gymnast that like was paralyzed or whatever, and then sat and like literally could only visualize taking herself through the routine, and
she PR'd. She did the best she ever did.
Wow.
She was one of the gymnasts that were abused by Larry Nassar. Her story was in I think the podcast Believed, but it was fascinating just hearing her. I mean, obviously she was treated horribly by him, and she wasn't actually getting the help she needed because Larry Nassar was going in there for his kicks. But she, because she couldn't move and she couldn't train, but she wanted to still compete, she just used visualizations, and she got, I think she got gold. I think she did the best that she had ever done without actually physically practicing, but using visualizations.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's another big indicator of like what you can, it's like simultaneously liberating and also horrifying. It's like, oh no, I'm keeping myself sick, but also like, it's all in my head. I can fix it, but I can't. So good luck. We wish you all the best with that. Don't have a crisis about it like I probably will.
We have crises all the time. It's totally fine. We're all human. It's great. Anyway, we love you guys. Thanks for listening to us ramble on. Ramble on. Start singing Led Zeppelin. If you need to reach me at all, you can find me at jpowintuitive.com. I've got a little contact you form also. Book readings. See my cool picture that I made when I was in a flow of artistic creation.
Excellent. Okay, well, thank you for hanging out with us, you guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye!
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.